Democratic candidate for the 15th Congressional District, Erica Weaver, is joining us this morning. First off, Erica, it's good to talk to you again. You've been well?
Yes, Tom. It's good to talk to you, too. I've been well and, you know, healthy, so everything is pretty good.
Yeah, and busy, too. I talked to Erica about this. What we want to do is take a look at some of the topics. The topics will be here after COVID. They were here before in some cases, like our first topic. We're here in a big part of the 2016 election. So we're taking our COVID filters off. We will talk about it later on. But first, immigration. It was one of the things that drove people in the polls in 2016, drove them to vote or vote against someone. Immigration, and more specifically, illegal immigration. I believe there's another caravan heading from Central America to the United States now. People questioning that timing. We'll see whether it makes it. But what should be done about immigration, and more specifically, illegal immigration in the United States?
Well, Tom, you know, it is an issue that it was prevalent in 2016. It's still prevalent now. You know, there are some misconceptions about who can do what. And so what we need is we need our legislative body to make definitive laws for immigration. We need to support DACA, so that's not in the Supreme Court anymore, the DREAM Act. If we do that, if we get legislation on board that provides a path to citizenship, that wouldn't be an issue anymore. As it relates to illegal immigration, we all want a safe process, right? We want to make sure that the borders are safe. We don't want that to happen, and especially in our border states, but we need to be very responsible, and we need to exercise some humanity in how we do that. And right now, I'm not certain that we're doing that.
You know, when it comes to the economy, we had two issues in your district. Job opportunities were hard to come by. COVID-19 has, of course, had its own effect. In your specific district, the District 15, the current seat held by John Shimkus, huge district, too, with a lot of different needs. What needs to be done to help some of the lower-income counties in the state? Some of the lowest-income counties in the entire state are in your district in the southern portion.
Absolutely, and jobs are still a problem. A lot of our factories that we had are closing. Those jobs are not coming back. Some have said that they would. I believe Honeywell said that they would come back. We don't know that that's open. We need to make sure that people have those opportunities, and some of those opportunities will come by way of, you know, microloans for our agricultural community. It will come by way of renewable energy for our municipalities, which will employ people in those municipalities, and it will come by offering people remote job opportunities. And in order for us to do that, we have to make sure that we get the state and federal funds that have been promised to expand and improve broadband in our area.
Gun rights are another huge issue for the district, and we've seen a lot of discussion about it. And already we're starting to see, because of the presidential election, the talk about what's defined as assault rifles. But when it comes to gun rights, I mean, you heard the phrase, I think it was Kamala Harris talking about mandatory gun buyback programs. Well, if it's a buyback program, why do you use the word mandatory? This is still, in your district, and specifically the southernmost, a driving issue is gun rights and what people say, the ability to defend themselves and to defend themselves against tyranny.
Well, it's interesting, though, because we don't need assault rifles to do that. So in our district, we have a lot of people who hunt, but they hunt with shotguns, not with assault rifles. And I am a firearm owner. So the Second Amendment, I support it. It's a part of the Constitution. I think the language sometimes with the propaganda gets twisted and people imply that someone wants to go and snatch a right from the American people. That's not going to happen. What we're talking about is responsible legislation with any of our rights. We have to still be responsible. But I'm a firearm owner. I have a FOIA card, and I took the conceal and carry course. I understand the importance of feeling like you can defend yourself, but we also want to be responsible when we do that.
We've heard more and more, especially with the hearings today on the Supreme Court, about the Affordable Care Act. Where do the responsibilities begin and end for federal government when it comes to health care?
The federal government needs to make sure that every American citizen has access to health care. And I know I listened to some of the hearing, and there was a discussion about how much the deductible is. My deductible was significantly high, but I don't want people to not have health care just so that my deductible is lower. We have a duty to be concerned about every person in this country. And so we need to protect the Affordable Care Act. And then when we have something that's better, then we implement something better. But we have to have a conversation across the aisle to do that. And I still believe that if we put federal dollars into mobile medical units, we can get health care to the people of our district and to our rural communities across the nation.
All right, this is a big deal, and I think highlighted by the Supreme Court when it comes to this. But at the same time, we're talking about something that was done in Washington where you fine somebody for not having health insurance while at the same time saying if you're here illegally, you get it free.
Well, and here's the thing. All illegal immigrants are not able to get benefits. I think that's also a misconception. You have to be able to present information to get benefits. And I'm saying that as a person who relied on a lot of these benefits and social services that are being discussed. I couldn't just walk in without some sort of identification, a birth certificate, a social security number for myself and my children before I could get any of those services. And it wasn't easy. I had to adhere to income guidelines and job, you know, search opportunities. I had to be in school and at work a certain amount of time. And I don't know if people understand how those social services are monitored. It's not, you can't just walk in without that information and get assistance and get coverage. And so I don't want the American people to think that that's what's happening, because that's not accurate.
National debt, $27 trillion, 102% of the gross domestic product of this country in 1 year. How do you get a hold of this? How do you get a handle on this?
There's no way to get a handle on it as soon as you go in. But what we need to do, and I know you had Representative Shimkus on a few weeks ago, and he talked about, you know, the new bills that are being presented and some of those things that are in there that are supposed to be related to COVID, but not necessarily COVID related. We just have to be responsible. And I don't know that we're doing that. I know that you all talked about how it's unfathomable the way that we discuss our debt in this country. The continued loans from other countries. We just have to be responsible with what we have. And a large part of that is making sure that we're giving money to the necessary spaces. We're not giving just tax breaks to large corporations, but that we're using those funds appropriately, that the money that we've promised to our states is given to our states and is allocated appropriately. And that's what our Appropriations Committee is supposed to do. That's the responsibility of our Congress, is to raise and oversee public funds. And I don't know that that's happening right now, but it's probably because nobody's talking to each other.
So raise taxes to pay it off?
I'm not saying that we need to raise taxes to pay it off. But that is on the table. That's on the table in the states. So we have state tax issues and we have federal tax issues. And so, but right now, the tax issue that I believe you're probably referring to is a state issue.
Yeah, well, both. I mean, at some point, $27 trillion, you can't just say, okay, I'm good. We don't have to pay for it. I mean,
we have to be accountable for it.
Yeah.
But we also have to be responsible with what we do with that money. We can't just keep getting loans and being irresponsible with how we distribute it. And I don't know that we're doing that. In fact, the money that we've promised to our states hasn't been distributed yet. We still haven't seen the funds for the broadband commitment. We still haven't seen funds for our first responders. We haven't seen those dollars go to all of our schools who are right now suffering to try to educate their students in this pandemic. So we're not being responsible with what we have. We shouldn't go get more money if we haven't taken care of the money that we already have.
You know, what's interesting about that is the money that was okayed March 27th in the CARE Act largely has been distributed outside of Chicago, outside of Cook County and the collar counties. And they keep saying, we need more money, we need more money. Well, they haven't distributed the money for March 27th yet.
And I heard you and John Shimkus talk about that. And, you know, someone has to account for that. I don't have, you know, access to that information now, but our current legislators do. And so they need to account for where that money is.
Right. Now, people say, right, the difference between the views right now, well, you've been on the campaign trail, you know, the views are literally 180 degrees on many occasions. Is this the most important election in our lifetime? And if it is, why?
I think that this is an extremely important election, but I believe that it's because we have never seen an administration that has blatantly disregarded our Constitution, our statutes, our laws. And so when you have someone who advocates for law and order they should do so by first exhibiting that themselves. And that's not what's happening. We have an administration that looks for loopholes. If it isn't explicitly stated that something cannot happen, they're doing those things. And that is a danger to our democracy. And so I think that is the most pivotal point that we have right now, is we have an administration that has no regard for the laws and the rules of this country. So that's, to me, what makes it the most important election. I don't believe that we've ever seen that before.
I don't think that, though, that's exclusively Democratic or Republican response. That's political, isn't it?
Say that again?
That doesn't seem to be the exclusive right of one party or another to kind of find loopholes and take advantage of them. It seems like it's just the nature of the beast.
Well, I think it's, I'm not saying that it's party specific. I'm talking about this particular administration, and that's not necessarily the nature of the beast of politics. That's the nature of the administration. We've had 44 other presidents, and they operated within the bounds of the Constitution.
No, except
the legislative body is supposed to operate and have checks and balances, and we're not seeing that right now.
How long is too long to be in Washington, D.C.?
I don't know how long is too long. I guess when you're no longer representing the interests of your people, when you can no longer understand what's happening on the ground in your district. So what that term limit should be decided by the people of the district, but I don't believe that there's a good way to represent people if you can't continue to connect with them and understand what they're experiencing.
So you're not in favor of term limits?
I'm in favor of it. I don't have that number. I don't know if that's two terms. I mean, Representative is only in for 2 years each term. So I think that we should expand that maybe to four years and then set a term limit, but whether it's 4 years or 12 years, we have to still be able to connect with the people in our district.
Yeah, and I've had a lot of people lecture me on this, saying, no, you don't understand, term limits happen every 2 years. and I've had that fed to me.
Well, I think the two-year term doesn't allow a representative to actually sit and focus on the job. It's almost as if you're running every year, and so we need to have people get into office and sit down and actually do the work and focus on the work and not focus on campaigns.
You know, COVID-19, some of your counties are on the where you aspire to take the 15th congressional seat, which, by the way, I need to tell you, we're speaking with Democratic candidate Erica Weaver. Some of the counties, matter of fact, I talked to one of the mayors in that community earlier this morning in Saline on the COVID-19 warning list. So COVID-19 going forward, what needs to be done to be able to put this behind us and to be able to help your district keep its business alive with this specter hanging over its head?
The first thing is, we know what the metrics are. We know that once we hit a particular number, businesses will close. Our schools won't be able to safely open. It impacts our economy. It impacts our education. It impacts our healthcare system. Representative Shimkus said it. I don't think that there's an argument about being cautious. Now, I'm not saying to be afraid of COVID. I'm saying being cautious. We exercise caution all the time. So just do the necessary things. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Socially distance. And allow time for our medical professionals to develop a vaccine. And that's what we need to do. And then we just, again, need to, our legislative body, our leadership needs to give the direction that's necessary and the support that's necessary for us to move forward with our school systems, with our healthcare system, and with our economy. But right now we're in limbo because some things are able to move forward just a little bit. Right, but then we're taking three steps back, and we need to just be able to move forward.
Got some brief questions that are coming in from our listeners here. I want to throw a couple of these at you. Constitutionally, What is Erica's favorite part of the Constitution?
Oh, that's a really good question.
I thought so.
My favorite part of the Constitution, probably the judicial branch and their responsibilities. Because when our other two branches have not definitively acted, the judicial branch comes in and reaffirms the laws.
Another question.
That might just be the lawyer in me, but I do love the powers of and the roles of the judicial branch as
right.
well.
The three branches and the tripod in which we sit. Now, here's another one. Do you favor voter ID?
I'm not opposed to voter ID, but I do believe that we need to have other measurements when someone maybe doesn't have an ID, or the ID or the address doesn't match. And so I don't want people to be excluded from exercising their right to vote because of a challenge with the ID, when we know that sometimes people move. And I say that as someone who's been homeless. And so my driver's license didn't match the address of the shelter. And so I want people who are having hard times to be able to still vote. I don't want them to be excluded. So,
all right, final summation here. Why you? What can you do for the 15th Congressional District? What needs to be done, and what need can you fulfill?
Why me? Because we know that this seat is an open seat, so whoever's elected will be a freshman member of Congress. We want someone who's ready to take action day one, someone who's ready to do the job day one, someone who has a background to do the job and advocate for this district day one, and who understands what the work in D.C. means to the people of this district. And I know that because I have lived those experiences. My opponent will tell you that I haven't lived here long. I've been here 15 years. She and I are both EIU transplants. We moved from the suburbs of Chicago here, and I understand what people are doing here. And I also have leadership experience in these times. I am on my school board. I know what it means to give of yourself. I know what it means to sacrifice, and I know what it means to see every person that you're responsible for. And that's what I would do in D.C.